Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Hi, Mike Dettelier joins us in a moment. I just want to give you an update on the weather. 40% chance for showers today, what could turn into tropical storm / Hurricane Francine is being watched in the Gulf. They're projecting landfall around Lafayette. That would be Wednesday at 1 o'clock. That means some rain for us. If it keeps going to the east, that would put us on the northeast quadrant, which is not good because that means rain. There will be some coastal impacts. We'll keep you apprised of everything you need to know. It's going to be quick moving, which is good, but it's bad because it doesn't give you a lot of time to prepare, etc. So just make sure your gas tank is full, I would say, in those types of things. With that, we welcome in Mike Dettelier. Hey, no, Mike.
I'm fine. Thank you, Tommy.
Other than, you know, being in Houma and, or Thibodaux where you are, right?
Yeah, everything's good here now. But, you know, looking at kind of what you were talking about with the tropical storm, which will probably be a hurricane, it has some similarities to Zeta of years ago, a couple years back.
Yeah. Go ahead, because I'm trying to – Zeta is the October one, right?
Yeah, that was the later October one, correct.
And tell me about the similarities, because I have a hard time remembering. I'm sorry, but they all run together to me.
That one was one of them that came, living in Lafourche, came just to our west, and it was the fast-moving storm, and I think New Orleans got a part of it at that time, where it kind of passed through very, very quickly, but a similar kind of projection path-wise. I know today they're saying it's a little bit more west of that, but every time I see – you know, this projection from the Weather Service, it gets a little bit closer east.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at the path right now to see what you're talking about, and I do see what you're talking about. It kind of it was more east. The path of Zeta was a lot more east than this one is right now, but we will watch it. Let's talk about the Saints yesterday. You know, Mike, I'm watching it, and I'm thinking in correlation to hurricane season, it was quiet up until now, and you know, the same kind of thing where it's like, yeah, we had a storm yesterday, to mix my metaphors here, but Saints played a great game yesterday. It is only one game. It is only the season opener. They have won five in a row. I'm not trying six in a row now. I'm not trying to wet wee-wee on anybody's parade or anything like that, but in terms of openers, it is hard not to get excited about the way they played yesterday.
Tommy, I mean, you know, you could not have scripted a game plan better than what happened yesterday against the Panthers. In all three phases, offense, defense, special teams, the most important thing for me was they won up front. Offensive line, defensive line. The shocking thing was how well they played offensively, and their offensive line held up. No one would have guessed this, that they would have been that proficient on the offensive side, the football, when you score, you know, nine straight times. And it was almost shocking to see how good it was, because game one, normally there's hiccups along the way. You haven't played together as a unit, and to see how all of this came together. Now, one of the things during the week, in talking to Jake DeLome, I had him on Sports Talk, he brought up that his big concern for the Panthers was that they had not played together as a unit offensively, mm-hmm. one snap in preseason. And that concerned him because no matter what they spent on trying to solidify their offensive line, didn't look like it really paid off yesterday very much. I mean, Bryce Young was running for his life basically. Every snap, he was under duress. But I think the big surprise was just how good this team played from a Saints standpoint on the offensive side of the football. And they controlled things up front with their offensive line. That's the big surprise.
Trevor Penning played pretty well. I got to tell you, not a perfect game, but it, all in all, like going into, and I thought about you yesterday watching the game because I know the offensive line was a big concern. Man, I'm going to tell you what, both run blocking and pass blocking, they played pretty well, which makes me wonder, as you do every time you watch a game, are we that good or are they that bad or is it somewhere in between?
Yeah, well, it's always you that good and they that bad. There's always a middle ground in there, but listen, they're a professional team. They are not a very good one, but that's their issues, not yours.
Right.
You got to take advantage of the fact that right now the Panthers are still in a rebuilding stage, and man, they got an owner that's not real patient with anything, and so you got to understand kind of what's happening there. I think this coming Sunday will be a bigger test, certainly when you play the Cowboys, because in watching all the games, I think the two things that stuck out for me this weekend was how good the Saints played on offense, really all across the board, but mainly on offense, and how good the Cowboys looked. They went up against a playoff team, and they took them apart. Mm-hmm. I mean, Cleveland had no shot. Zero. And they were in the backfield as much as Deshaun Watson was, their defensive front. They could not block the Cowboys.
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up here. We'll come back. And I'm going to leave you with this thought. You don't pay a player for what he's done, but you pay him for what he's going to do. And we'll pick it up there. We'll come back specifically talking about number 41, Mike Dettelier, our guest, dissecting yesterday's Saints game against the Panthers. Just an all in all, complete beatdown of Carolina, and they look good in all three phases of the game. You got any questions, comments, 504-260-1870, 620, time for traffic now.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
WWL. All right, 625, Mike Haas with the call yesterday. And again, if you don't turn down the radio and turn down the sound and listen to Deuce and Mike and Jeff call the game, you're missing a lot, man, because Deuce knows what's going to happen sometimes before it even happens, and Mike does a great job of calling it as it happens. Mike Dettelier, our guest, WWL NFL analyst, co-host of Sports Talk. He'll be second-guessing at the Silver Slipper Casino with Bobby Hebert this evening from 4 till 7. You can join him out there or listen on WWL. Mike, I mentioned before the break, you know, the saying is you don't pay a player for what he's done, but for what he's going to do for you or can do for you. 41, Alvin Kamara just looked explosive yesterday. So how does all of this figure in? I would presume he was trying to send a message yesterday, I would guess, not that he doesn't always. Thoughts on all of that?
Yeah, you know, because he made the comments during the week, talk about an extension of his contract, you know, that he'll wait till next year for anything like that to happen. But I think yesterday what you saw was what a creative play caller and scheme kind of deviser Kubiak was. And he gave him opportunities there. Mm-hmm. It was much more of the wide zone read for him to get the ball outside. It was creative in that you saw a lot more shifts and movement and what they called. The one thing that stood out to me quite a bit was Derek Carr. If it was in Oakland or Las Vegas, and even last year with the Saints, he was primarily, I know where he is in the pocket, okay? He ain't moving a lot. The Saints moved him around left, right? They kind of moved him out of that one stationary spot in the pocket, either a little left, a little right, and throwing the football. But Alvin played terrific yesterday. And in that scheme, if it's run right, he is still a big-time weapon as a runner and a receiver. And then you had the power element with Taysom Hill. Mm-hmm. And so, man, the balance there was perfect. Like I say, some game plans, you can look at it, and after the game's over, that goes in the garbage. This one, and I wrote it yesterday on Twitter, man, I'd like to bottle up what they got and save it for a day when things aren't maybe going as well.
I texted the same thing.
I
texted the same thing to somebody, and they said, typical of somebody who started as an accounting major, and that is, I wish we could put some of this in the bank, right? And you're an engineer. I wish we could put some of this in the bank for next week and further on down the season. That's all I kept thinking.
Yeah, and so, man, it opens things up for Alvin. But bottom line is, if you can run the football, it opens so many other avenues up for you in the passing game. And you saw it yesterday, what it did. And this was a Panthers defense that finished in the top five. And like in the top five major categories, they were in the top five in four of the five. It's not like you were playing what they got on offense, which is all kind of mishmash the way you look at it. They don't have Brian Burns coming off the edge, but this was an experienced Panthers defense, and the Saints took them apart yesterday. Really, really did. And that was about as impressive as you can see right off the bat in game one.
You know, sometimes I make up stuff in my head. I think we all do. But and look, 41 is always explosive, right? And it's first game of the season, so he's fresh. He's not all beat up and everything. You would presume his legs are fresh, so that had a part in it. That had a hand in it, a foot in it, however you want to say it. But it just seemed yesterday like he had a little extra pep in his step. Am I making that up in my head or not?
No, it looked that way, and I think because I think he sees an offense that he fits in so well in. I really, because listen, if you believe in what you're doing is going to give you success, it's human nature. You're going to give a little bit more to it.
As opposed to go run into that wall again, right?
Right.
Yeah,
or seeing that team pitcher on defense.
Yeah. All right, let's take a break. We'll pick it up when we come back. We'll also check in with the National Weather Service. Mike Dettelier, our guest, talking about the Saints. Panthers yesterday. We'll look ahead to the Cowboys. Got any comments, questions, 504-260-1870, 630. Time for WWL First News. It's 6:40 now, 20 till 7. More with Mike Dettelier shortly. But first, we wanted to check in with Christopher Bannon, meteorologist over at the National Weather Service. So tell me where we stand. First of all, good morning, Christopher. How are you?
Hey, good morning. Doing great. How you doing?
I'm all right. Let's talk about where we stand with Tropical Cyclone. Is it six yet, potential? What do we have going on here?
Yes, it is still potential Tropical Cyclone 6, very disorganized in the southwestern Gulf of Mexico. However, it is forecast to become a tropical storm later today.
What about the time frame on this and intensification, projected path, and whatever happens with steering currents up above to push it one way or the other?
Yeah, right now that's the biggest uncertainty, is because it is still disorganized. When it does get organized, it will become a little more certain, but it looks like the conditions will become favorable for it to continue to strengthen for about the next two and a half days. Expected to become a hurricane, looks like by Tuesday night, and approach the Louisiana coast. Right now they've got it approaching just south of Lafayette Wednesday night. Still as a hurricane, forecast right around 80 miles an hour.
If it stays as it is and everything happens as predicted, what would the effects be moving east from, say, Lafayette?
We would see multiple impacts across southeast Louisiana. The greatest threat right now, especially with all the rainfall we've seen the last 2 weeks, would be the heavy rainfall, especially if you get under one of those bands that's just moving south to north, and we call it training over the same area. Looking for pretty strong winds with this system as it comes, especially across the coast, but especially closer towards the Baton Rouge area with the current forecast track. Tides are also a concern. We're going to start seeing onshore flow later today. We're also moving towards a high tide cycle, and then when you add on an approaching tropical system to it, we could see tides cause a lot of problems outside of any of the hurricane risk reduction system or other levees around the area. And certainly, last but not least, is isolated tornadoes. If everybody remembers what happened with Beryl across northwestern Louisiana, had numerous tornadoes that led to quite a bit of damage and even one fatality.
Let's talk about rapid intensification. Is there time for that?
The environment is favorable for it to happen, but it has to get its act together today. If it's very slow and it still can't get going until tonight or even tomorrow morning, it's going to lose that window. But there is a window that it could probably intensify pretty quickly, and that's why they've got it forecast to become a hurricane.
Time frame on this, well, landfall as it stands now?
It still looks like right now, sometime Wednesday afternoon, evening, that it'll approach the Louisiana coast.
So the effects would be start when?
We'd probably start seeing rainfall increase Tuesday night, and then the bulk of the heavier impacts will be Wednesday through Thursday morning.
Tomorrow night, Wednesday through Thursday morning. Thank you, Christopher Bannon. We'll take a break. Come back more with Mike Dettillier when we return on WWL. 13 till 7, a kind of odd schedule because we talked with the National Weather Service about the storm because everybody's talking about it and worried about it. We got to keep you updated with kids in school and so forth. And speaking of which, I know this is a minor concern, okay? I understand that. I realize this is a very minor concern given the scope of everything, but I hope this doesn't get in the way of the Saints preparing for the Cowboys because you don't want any disruptions. Mike, thoughts on that? I don't know if you could hear me or not, but I was talking about, you know, the storm, and this is a minor consideration. I realize that in the scope of everything. But one thought I had was that it getting in the way of preparations for the Cowboys because you only got 17 games, right? And it's not like baseball where you got 162 of them, and one of them you go, oh, well, okay, you make it up later. But what do you likelihood of this? I guess the Saints are in the process of preparing alternative plans now if they got a – or can't? I don't know. Talk to me. What do you think?
Yeah, and they've been through this before. If you remember for Ida, they had to kind of pack up and leave and then play that game out in Florida. And they dismantled the Green Bay Packers in that opener.
Jacksonville, right?
Yeah. And so, I mean, you always, because of where we live, you always have people in that building, and they know how to do it because it's not a first-time run. But distractions, that happens. Yesterday, if you look and you see what happened with the Dolphins and Tyreek Hill right before the game, that's a distractive moment. But for the head coach and the leaders on that team is to get you to focus on the task at hand. And I think that's what the Saints are going to do. They're going to focus on the task at hand, let somebody else come up in that building what has to be done if, you know, plans change. And then you have your leaders on the team take over that. And we got to take care of business. This is a job for us. Let's take care of business. But the human element is there is a little bit of distraction, yes.
It's hard not to have it. I'll tell you what. When you say focused and prepared yesterday, that they were focused, they were prepared, and they executed yesterday. And that's going to be tough to do week in and week out. But likelihood of them carrying that over to next week against the Cowboys?
It's the I don't know of sports. It's why it's the greatest reality show on TV. That it's the unknown of not knowing of can you carry it over or not. Because I'm sure Mike McCarthy's saying the same thing. Can we carry over what we did in game one?
It's 6:40 now, 20 till 7. More with Mike Dettelier shortly, but first we wanted to check in with Christopher Bannon, meteorologist over at the National Weather Service. So tell me where we stand. First of all, good morning, Christopher. How are you?
Hey, good morning. Doing great. How you doing?
I'm all right. Let's talk about where we stand with Tropical Cyclone. Is it 6 yet, potential? What do we have going on here?
Yes, it is still potential Tropical Cyclone 6, very disorganized in the southwestern Gulf of Mexico. However, it is forecast to become a tropical storm later today.
What about the time frame on this and intensification, projected path, and whatever happens with steering currents up above to push it one way or the other?
Yeah, right now that's the biggest uncertainty, is because it is still unorganized, disorganized. Sorry, when it does get organized, it will become a little more certain. But it looks like the conditions will become favorable for it to continue to strengthen for about the next 2.5 days. Expected to become a hurricane. Looks like by Tuesday night, and approach the Louisiana coast. Right now, they've got approaching just south of Lafayette. Wednesday night, still as a hurricane, forecast right around 80 miles an hour.
If it stays as it is and everything happens as predicted, what would the effects be moving east from, say, Lafayette?
We would see multiple impacts across southeast Louisiana. The greatest threat right now, especially with all the rainfall we've seen the last 2 weeks, would be the heavy rainfall. Especially if you get under one of those bands that's just moving south to north, and we call it training over the same area. Looking for pretty strong winds with this system as it comes, especially across the coast, but especially closer towards the Baton Rouge area with the current forecast track. Tides are also a concern. We're going to start seeing onshore flow later today. We're also moving towards a high tide cycle, and then when you add on an approaching tropical system to it, we could see tides cause a lot of problems outside of any of the hurricane risk reduction system or other levees around the area. And certainly, last but not least, is isolated tornadoes. If everybody remembers what happened with Beryl across northwestern Louisiana, had numerous tornadoes that led to quite a bit of damage and even one fatality.
Let's talk about rapid intensification. Is there time for that?
The environment is favorable for it to happen, but it has to get its act together today. If it's very slow and it still can't get going until tonight or even tomorrow morning, it's going to lose that window. But there is a window that it could probably intensify pretty quickly. And that's why they've got it forecast to become a hurricane.
Time frame on this, landfall as it stands now?
It still looks like right now, sometime Wednesday afternoon, evening, that it'll approach the Louisiana coast.
So the effects would be start when?
We'd probably start seeing rainfall increase Tuesday night, and then the bulk of the heavier impacts will be Wednesday through Thursday morning.
Tomorrow night, Wednesday through Thursday morning. Thank you, Christopher Bannon. We'll take a break. Come back more with Mike Dettelier when we return on WWL. 13 till 7, a kind of odd schedule because we talked with the National Weather Service about the storm because everybody's talking about it and worried about it. We got to keep you updated with kids in school and so forth. And speaking of which, I know this is a minor concern, okay? I understand that. I realize this is a very minor concern given the scope of everything, but I hope this doesn't get in the way of the Saints preparing for the Cowboys because you don't want any disruptions. Mike, thoughts on that? I don't know if you could hear me or not, but I was talking about, you know, the storm, and this is a minor consideration. I realize that in the scope of everything. But one thought I had was that it getting in the way of preparations for the Cowboys, because you only got 17 games, right? And it's not like baseball where you got 162 of them, and one of them you go, oh, well, okay, you make it up later. But what do you likelihood of this? I guess the Saints are in the process of preparing alternative plans now if they got a – or can't? I don't know. Talk to me. What do you think?
Yeah, and they've been through this before. If you remember for Ida, they had to kind of pack up and leave and then play that game out in Florida. And they dismantled the Green Bay Packers in that opener.
Right?
Jacksonville. Yeah. And so, yeah, I mean, you always, because of where we live, you always have people in that building, and they know how to do it because it's not a first-time run. But distractions, that happens. Yesterday, if you look and you see what happened with the Dolphins and Tyreek Hill right before the game, that's a distractive moment. But for the head coach and the leaders on that team is to get you to focus on the task at hand. And I think that that's what the Saints are going to do. They're going to focus on the task at hand, let somebody else come up in that building what has to be done if, you know, plans change. And then you have your leaders on the team take over that. And we got to take care of business. This is a job for us. Let's take care of business. But the human element is there is a little bit of distraction, yes.
It's hard not to have it. I'll tell you what, when you say focused and prepared yesterday, that they were focused, they were prepared, and they executed yesterday. And it, that's going to be tough to do week in and week out, but likelihood of them carrying that over to next week against the Cowboys.
It's the I don't know of sports. It's why it's the greatest reality show on TV. That it's the unknown of not knowing of can you carry it over or not. Because I'm sure Mike McCarthy's saying the same thing. Can we carry over what we did in game one against a Browns team that went to the playoffs last year? Can we carry that over? That's the tale of the National Football League or even college football. It's the toughest task of turning the page. And, you know, I had a coach years ago tell me this. It's like a snapshot in time. Every week is a different snapshot. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're using the same camera, but things change, you know, from moment to moment. And that's where you have to be able to have that focus and readiness game plan wise to go up against a team this coming Sunday that's a hell of a lot better than what the Panthers are.
Tell me about additions to the Saints, Willie Gay, some of the other guys that really stood out to you yesterday.
One, on defense, it was Alante Taylor, who's not a guy that you added, but he's a young player in this league and how they used him. And you're talking about three quarterback sacks for a defensive back. That hasn't been done. You got to go back to 1998. Rodney Harrison did that with the then San Diego Chargers. That's before he went to New England. And he had three in 98 for the Chargers. How they used him, how comfortable he is in that slot position. But they blitzed him yesterday, not just off the edge, but right up the middle. And they saw something on film that was kind of tipped them off that could happen. I like what I see in Willie Gay. He's a guy that can run the field extremely well. He's had a little bit of a back issue, and so we'll have to keep an eye on that. But you talk about an athlete, and he can flat out run, and he's the spy guy. When you play all these mobile quarterbacks, you better have somebody that makes sure he doesn't break containment. And Willie can do that. Chase Young, you saw the Panthers was spending a lot more time with a chip on him, so to speak. It was not just a tackle. It was a tight end or a back. And he made his presence felt of how good of a player he can become. But the MVP of new Clint Kubiak's offense.
Yep.
That was, to me, yesterday, that showed up big of his being able to utilize every weapon offensively he had on the field. And, man, double tip, triple tip of the cap, Blake Groupie, and what he did kicking field goals. Because you can set all that up and you lose momentum not hitting them. Man, he was money yesterday,
you know,
in that 57-yarder.
Stu said this during the game, and I had thought about it about an hour before, which is when it comes to these kickoffs,
Doesn't matter if you kick it higher, if you kick it lower, if you whatever you do, because neither side can move until the ball is touched, correct, or until it hits the ground?
That's correct.
So it doesn't matter if you kick it low, kick it fast, kick it high, doesn't matter. Nobody can move till the ball gets there.
Yeah, and so it's the setup on the blocking that is a little different than what we've seen in the past. And we had one yesterday run back for a score, a touchdown, but I always think early in the season, that's going to happen. You're going to have breakdowns on special teams. Didn't happen with the Saints yesterday. They were terrific.
Let's hope that carries on. We'll talk to you, Mike. We'll listen to you this evening as you second guess live from the Silver Slipper Casino on the beach, Hancock County, Mississippi. Him and a Cajun Cannon starts at 4, 6:55. Traffic now, WWL. 13 till 7, a kind of odd schedule because we talked with the National Weather Service about the storm because everybody's talking about it and worried about it. We got to keep you updated with kids in school and so forth. And speaking of which, I know this is a minor concern, okay? I understand that. I realize this is a very minor concern given the scope of everything, but I hope this doesn't get in the way of the Saints preparing for the Cowboys, because you don't want any disruptions. Mike, thoughts on that? I don't know if you could hear me or not, but I was saying, I was talking about, you know, the storm, and this is a minor consideration. I realize that in the scope of everything, but one thought I had was that it getting in the way of preparations for the Cowboys, because you only got 17 games, right? And it's not like baseball where you got 162 of them, and one of them you go, oh, well, okay, you make it up later. But what do you likelihood of this? I guess the Saints are in the process of preparing alternative plans now if they gotta or can't. I don't know. Talk to me. What do you think?
Yeah, and they've been through this before. If you remember for Ida, they had to kind of pack up and leave and then play that game out in Florida. And they dismantled the Green Bay Packers in that opener.
Jacksonville.
Yeah. And so yeah, I mean, you always, because of where we live, you always have people in that building, and they know how to do it because it's not a first-time run. But distractions, that happens. Yesterday, if you look and you see what happened with the Dolphins and Tyreek Hill right before the game, that's a distractive moment. But for the head coach and the leaders on that team is to get you to focus on the task at hand. And I think that that's what the Saints are going to do. They're going to focus on the task at hand, let somebody else come up in that building what has to be done if, you know, plans change. And then you have your leaders on the team take over that. And we got to take care of business. This is a job for us. Let's take care of business. But the human element is there is a little bit of distraction, yes.
It's hard not to have it. I'll tell you what, when you say focused and prepared yesterday, that they were focused, they were prepared, and they executed yesterday. And it, that's going to be tough to do week in and week out. But likelihood of them carrying that over to next week against the Cowboys?
It's the I don't know of sports. It's why it's the greatest reality show on TV. That it's the unknown of not knowing of can you carry it over or not. Because I'm sure Mike McCarthy's saying the same thing. Can we carry over what we did in game one against a Browns team that went to the playoffs last year? Can we carry that over? That's the tale of the National Football League or even college football. It's the toughest task of turning the page. And, you know, I had a coach years ago tell me this. It's like a snapshot in time. Every week is a different snapshot. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're using the same camera, but things change, you know, from moment to moment. And that's where you have to be able to have that focus and readiness game plan wise to go up against a team this coming Sunday that's a hell of a lot better than what the Panthers are.
Tell me about additions to the Saints, Willie Gay, some of the other guys who really stood out to you yesterday.
One, on defense, it was Alante Taylor, who's not a a guy that you added, but he's a young player in this league and how they used him. And you're talking about three quarterback sacks for defensive back. That hasn't been done. You got to go back to 1998. Rodney Harrison did that with the then San Diego Chargers. Mm-hmm. That's before he went to New England. Mm-hmm. And he had three in 98 for the Chargers. How they used him, how comfortable he is in that slot position. But they blitzed him yesterday, not just off the edge, but right up the middle. And they saw something on film that kind of tipped them off that could happen. I like what I see in Willie Gay. He's a guy that can run the field extremely well. He's had a little bit of a back issue. And so we'll have to keep an eye on that. But you talk about an athlete, and he can flat out run. And he's the spy guy. When you play all these mobile quarterbacks, you better have somebody that makes sure he doesn't break containment. And Willie can do that. Chase Young, you saw the Panthers were spending a lot more time with a chip on him, so to speak. It was not just a tackle. It was a tight end or a back. And he made his presence felt of how good of a player he can become. But the MVP of new Clint Kubiak's offense.
Yep.
That was, to me, yesterday, that showed up big of his being able to utilize every weapon offensively he had on the field. And, man, double tip, triple tip of the cap, Blake Groupie, and what he did kicking field goals, because – you can set all that up and you lose momentum not hitting them. Man, he was money yesterday,
you know,
in that 57-yarder.
Deuce said this during the game, and I had thought about it about an hour before, which is when it comes to these kickoffs, doesn't matter if you kick it higher, if you kick it lower, if you whatever you do, because neither side can move until the ball is touched, correct, or until it hits the ground?
That's correct.
So it doesn't matter if you kick it low, kick it fast, kick it high, doesn't matter. Nobody can move till the ball gets there.
Yeah, and so it's the setup on the blocking that is a little different than what we've seen in the past. And we had one yesterday run back for a score, a touchdown. But I always think early in the season that's going to happen. You're going to have breakdowns on special teams. Didn't happen with the Saints yesterday. They were terrific.
Let's hope that carries on. We'll talk to you, Mike. We'll listen to you this evening as you second guess. Live from the Silver Slipper Casino on the beach, Hancock County, Mississippi. Him and a Cajun Cannon starts at 4, 6:55. Traffic now, WWL.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.